fix that, he has to take on our humanity. The writer of Hebrews, and I know I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but the writer of Hebrews says he had to be made like his brethren. Why? Because he had to go through the same thing again so that he could change the outcome of what happened and bring to us something new and different in him. I hope you're kind of picking up on this as we're going through it. The second sermon is going to be baptism. How? When the Israel came out of Egypt through the Red Sea, and they went into, do you know what the wilderness was called that they ran into? It's called the wilderness of sin. When we're baptized, our Red Sea, coming out of slavery, coming out of those things which are outside of Christ, when we're baptized and we come into Christ, we are coming into the promised land, amen, not the wilderness of sin. Okay? We're going to talk about that. Jesus' temptation. Why was Jesus? You know, it's interesting. A lot of people get all freaked out about when Jesus come up out of the water, the Father said, you know, at his baptism, he said, this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. And then the Spirit pushed him into the desert. Why? Because he had to go through temptation. And you know what's interesting? Think about this. I'm going to love it. When I get to this sermon, you're going to have a hard time holding me down. Because when Jesus was tempted by the same kind of things that Israel was tempted with, do you know what he used? Scripture, yes, but those scriptures were from Deuteronomy when Moses wrote saying, these are the kind of things you need to give yourself to, not what you did in the wilderness of sin. When he was in the garden, why was he in the garden? Why was he tempted in the garden? Why did he sweat drops like as of blood? Why did he do that? Because in another garden, Satan confronted Adam and Eve and said, you don't need God to tell you what to do. Do what you want to do. What's Jesus' response in the garden of temptation? Not my will, but yours be done. You see what I'm talking about? Mary. You know, we're getting close. We get close to Christmas. Mary. Eve was deceived. She took the fruit and she ate it. What did Mary say? Be it unto me as you have said. These all affect recapitulation, temptation. His life and teachings. You think Israel got some things messed up? Answer to that question is yes, because when God came on the scene in Jesus, they didn't recognize him. So he came to reteach that which was messed up. And then he died. He died. He entered into the very thing that Adam gave us, death. And the only way to overcome death was to die. And because of his sinless nature, because he was divine, he rose on the third day so that now when we die, we get to rise up. Amen. This is a way of viewing what did God do when he came, the recapitulation. He went into the very thing that got messed up, he overcame it, he corrected it, so that now we reap the benefits. We're going to talk about the resurrection. Some of you don't think it's Easter. Getting awful close to Christmas. We're going to talk about the resurrection. Where there was death, now there's life. That's where we're going to hit this recapitulation thing pretty hard. Where there's death, now there's life. Where there was sin, now there's forgiveness. Where there is mourning, like M-O-U, grief mourning, there is now hope. Amen? And we're going to talk about his ascension, that he is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is the ruler of the world. Amen? And then we're going to celebrate that first thing after that called Christmas, the incarnation. Do you realize that the holidays we celebrate are the life of Christ in these moments of rec- recapitulation. I need to be reminded of those things. Just as we need to take this sheet of paper and we need to go, in Christ, all of these things, I need to know why. Why? Not because it's my own ability, not because I have to think right. It's that way because of what Jesus did, and in Him, that reality is true. So I reckon it so. As the old Oklahoma word is, and Paul uses that word in Romans 6. Reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to Jesus Christ. I decided to quote somebody you may be familiar with. Whew, I am sorry. This is drying me out. This is by William Barclay. Anybody happen to know William Barclay? He has a set of commentaries. He's a great preacher years ago. He's with Jesus now. But here's what he said. Although God was fully aware of humanity's sin and unrighteousness and the alienation from Him, God did not in righteous... I read over this and I saw what... In righteous displeasure, leave humanity in this self-centered existence. Let me read that again. Although God was fully aware of humanity's sin and unrighteousness and alienation from Him, God did not, in righteous displeasure, leave humanity in the self-centered existence. He did not do so, but freely and willingly expressed His love for all by dying for them. And now, by victory of His resurrection, He is able to empower those who believe the good news and live in Him. Yeah! I love God because He first loved me. And now I can love the way He loved because He entered into my junk. Fixed it so that now the outcome is redeemed. It is different. Now, my life is to live that out and live in that reality. Amen? Why? Because Jesus gave His life that you might have life. It's not some mental game that we play to make ourselves feel better. It is living in a reality that cost Jesus His life so that we might walk in the victory and be empowered to live this life for Him. Amen? We're going to be on a journey. We're going to be on a journey through the life of Christ. We're going to see how, through this, He turned things around for us. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Amen? Now, I will tell you up front, a couple of Sundays during this series, I will not be here. Okay? Fall break, I will not be found. I'm going to be in a woods in Arkansas trying to find my way out. I hope that I will be back on Tuesday. I have to drive the bus. Right, Sean? Yeah. And then in November, I forget the date, but my father is having his 85th birthday. I want to go see. So there'll be two Sundays in the series that we'll skip a Sunday. But this series will take us up to two Sundays before Christmas, which, by the way, is on Sunday this year. That's kind of cool. And I have a feeling our services will be a little different that day, maybe a little different time, and we'll be doing something different. So just want to kind of set up. Amen? Are you ready? Are you ready to go?
Yeah, Jeff, I'm hungry. I'm ready to go home. It's time to eat lunch. Let's go.
No, I mean, are you ready to go on this journey? My prayer is that by the end of this journey, that when... I just had this thought. I probably shouldn't have this. At the end of this journey, when we realize all of this, as I preach from then on, everybody will be going, woo, yeah, preach it, all, awesome. You know, you see all over, happening all over. And I can see some of you going, nope, not going to be me. We've been invited to a table. And this table is, the invitation has come from the one who went through everything so that we might know his life. So as we come to this table, we don't come casually. We come to honor him. We come to take a piece of bread that represents his body for us. We come to take a cup that represents his blood shed for us, that we might be a part of all this stuff we're talking about. You know, a lot of times we pray, Lord, come be with us. The reality is, he's here. So our prayer needs to be, Lord, let me know your presence as we do this. Ralph, have prayer with us.